The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Matter Private Network. During current restrictions, don't ignore your health concerns. Our expert team is ready to help.
Now, children's access to online pornography should be tackled at primary school level. That's according to a High Court judge who yesterday sentenced a teenager for raping his niece, acting out pornographic scenes that he'd been viewing from the age of 9 or 10. I'm joined on the line by Stella O'Malley, psychotherapist, best-selling author and a parent with many years' experience working in counselling and psychotherapy. Stella, good morning.
Hi there.
On the face of it, this is a pretty shocking story. That a 19-year-old, he gets a suspended five-year sentence because the judge decided that prison wouldn't do him any good, probably be excessively bad for him, that rehabilitation in the community would be best. But the fact that it's linked to childhood use of pornography at the age of 9 or 10 is pretty horrifying.
Yeah, it's very hard to link very definite kind of very extreme deviant acts with, you know, it could be, you know, something that they did, you know, 9 or 10 years previously. Certainly this particular individual seems to have been addicted to online porn by the age of 11 and was accessing it younger. But like on a wider scale, while I don't think it would lead to such extraordinarily awful acts, I do think there's a societal problem of 9, 10, 11-year-olds very often accessing very hardcore porn and getting locked into things that's way beyond their maturity level, and they're not really able to handle it because they're very young. And this is a new problem. Like up until 2012, really, most of us didn't have smartphones. Then most of us did. And since then, it's just exponential increase in the accessibility for hardcore porn for very young children. Has just been, you know, phenomenal.
To try to say, well, don't give your kid a smartphone, it just means that someone else in the class will have one and the boys will certainly share those images with each other, if only looking over the shoulder of another guy who's got a smartphone.
Certainly, yeah. And but like if there was a societal kind of attitude that like children under 12, you know, there shouldn't be a kind of smiling, what can we do, throw our hands in the air towards this kind of open accessibility, because it's effectively like they're playing in, you know, in the street beside the red light zone, if you follow me.
Yeah.
And they fall into it every so often. And it's not just boys. It's really noticeable that way more girls than ever before are accessing it, and it's just everywhere. It's on the school bus. It's on their way to school when they get, you know, sent content from their friends. It starts off very often with cartoon porn and, you know, video game porn. So they might be playing, you know, Fortnite, and then they find themselves in Fortnite porn. It's everything has been kind of pornified in their world, and they're too young. These are 10-year-olds. They're young.
Now, what does that do in terms of the emotional formation, both of the boys and the girls? Because much of this porn is supposed to, well, it's pretty violent towards women, I'm told, and therefore that may condition men to thinking this is the way their sexual activity should be.
Yeah, I do think anybody who's listening, who's rolling their eyes saying, shit, there's been porn here forever. There has. Like, there was porn on the pornographic images on the cave wall, so it has been here forever. What's being accessed now is a very different type of porn than what would have been accessed 20 years ago or 30 years ago. It's very brutal, it's very violent, it's very dehumanizing. And so I really want to kind of emphasize that point and then say, yeah, it has given an awful lot of young people a very kind of fragmented view of sex, so that sex is something dark and seedy and violent and brutal, and that's what it is. And they don't know anything about the kind of romantic, I want to kiss her, I want to meet her in the park and maybe hold her hand or his hand. That has been kind of sidelined for a much more illicit, sleazy vibe that has a huge amount of violence towards women. There's a very well-known study that showed about 88% of porn shows violence towards women. More than that, the women aren't really enjoying it. They're very often in pain, or their faces look like they're in pain. And if people are rolling their eyes, I'd say go and look at it. Go and look at it, and you'll see what I'm talking about very, very quickly.
We also read that some young men are suffering from erectile dysfunction because of their overexposure to porn, and to become sexually aroused, they need far more extreme images. If that is so, what is the impact of such imagery on women?
Yeah, this is a new kind of finding that kind of came from nowhere, but that more young men and teenage boys are suffering from erectile dysfunction, and that's very definitely linked with porn use. And again, what is happening with, let's say, women and men is that their attitudes to porn is that it's something that's kind of, it's a very objectified, unintimate attitude to sex, and they're missing out. They're missing out on the kind of the gorgeousness of kind of your first kind of sexual development, your first sexual kind of touching and things like that. They're missing all of that because it's all very virtual and it's very online. And so they might be kind of connoisseurs at sex online, but they've never actually kissed somebody. And so it becomes very dysfunctional very early. And they're not really very interested in the physical reality of sex because, frankly, it's too emotionally burdensome. So they'd rather just kind of have their kind of sexual release at home in their bedroom online and then just keep the relationships not vulnerable, not intimate, and quite distant, if you follow me, where it's all kind of a little bit fake and a little bit superficial. It's not a particularly functional way to live. It's not a very happy way to live. And it doesn't give kids a good introduction to sex. And it's really sad because we thought, you and I, let's say, Pat, from our generation or younger or older, we presumed that we'd get rid of the shackles of the Catholic Church and would free ourselves from this kind of sex repression, and that our children would end up having lovely sex and free sex and have a good time without any guilt. And what it's turned into is an incredibly brutal, sleazy, dehumanized version of sex. It's not at all what we expected or anticipated.
What pressure does it put on girls to perform particular acts with boys? What does it do to boys' expectations of what girls are supposed to do? Is the reverse also true, that girls expect men to perform or boys to perform in a particular way?
There's a huge expectation around performance on both sides, huge expectation around looks, what you should look like, because they're seeing like what the bodies look like, let's say, in this world. But yeah, there's a kind of a dysfunctional attitude that sex should be painful on some level, that, you know, things like choking and anal sex and things like that are really common and typical and expected. And if the girl is in pain, that's all part of the sex act. And the girl isn't quite, this is what from the feedback from I've spoken with the teenagers, but the girl isn't quite sure why she has a problem with being in pain. It's like, well, I should be all right with that because this is all part of it. And the boy doesn't really understand why she has a problem, why she's in pain, because she should be all right with that because that's all part of it. It's really sending really, really dysfunctional messages about sex, which could be fun to kind of impressionable young people, because we haven't got enough parental controls, we haven't got enough control online, and we presume the porn that people are talking about is something from Playboy in 1990, and it's not.
What's to be done, finally, Stella? What's to be done?
I think parents really have to kind of integrate themselves into their child's online world, and so that the kid realises that, you know, what they see is part of the parent's landscape, so that the parent is kind of has inserted themselves through the means of passwords and control over the Wi-Fi. And I know people say, oh, but they've got their own devices. It's very easy to buy parental controls where you can shut off devices. And I know parents will say, oh, but they can get over their devices. They're not getting over the devices. They're not getting over the parental controls at 9 and 10 and 11. So what our job is to kind of make sure that we engage rather than throwing our arms up in the air and saying, I hope somebody's doing something about this, Google should sort it out. Parents are going to have to grasp this nettle because it's too damaging for too many people. And I do want to say so many girls are, they're subjected to it, like when they're going to school, when they're in school, when they're coming home from school, all online, and it's really crude and really difficult for them, and they feel ashamed. And the boys think it's fine. Now, I know I'm sweeping generalizations there, and the other direction definitely happens very often as well. But it's something we've really got to start to kind of speak about regularly and make sure that our own kids are kind of online savvy and realize that their parents will be looking at their stuff.
Stella O'Malley, psychotherapist, thank you very much for joining us on the program.